Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we'll take our text from. A thought God shared with me earlier today, and as I was praying, and I just couldn't get away from it, and the more that I thought about it, the more he opened it to me, and it just became apparent we needed to go this direction. So on 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to begin at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, open your word to us tonight. Grant us liberty of your Holy Spirit. Speak it clearly, strongly, that all of us might receive it. And God, by its own power, by its living power, may it change us, quicken us by this truth, that may it lodge in our heart and always be with us. May we never forget this truth. Lord, may we truly put every effort in obeying it. Guide us now. I humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been any time at all with God, you've experienced hard things. But hard things are not uncommon to anyone. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust, and that's good and bad. Inherent in being a human is struggling. There will always be struggles. I personally would rather have God through a struggle than I would to be without God through a struggle. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from hard things. Everybody experiences hard things. The good thing is that God's with us through those things. And there is a peace, according to the gospel and by my own experience, that passeth all understanding. In times when you think you'll not make it, you make it. And that peace sustains you. The Holy Spirit of God is ever present, but always there. There are times that we ask God for relief. There are times that we ask God to change things. And there are times he does, and sometimes he does not. And I want to deal with that tonight, because to some, they think because God didn't answer their prayer the way that they prayed it, that somehow or another they failed. Or maybe that they're being punished in some way or another. Or some of us simply say, well, I didn't have enough faith. But I want you to see tonight from the four verses that we read, I believe an important lesson that the Apostle Paul learned and then applied to his daily life. I want to title the message because I want it to stick with you, and I hope you'll remember that. But the title of the message is Better, Not Bitter. Better, not bitter. The Apostle Paul had seen he had seen things that we will not see till I get there. You'd have to read the entire second letter to the Corinthians. Obviously, there was a letter sent back to him after he wrote the first letter, and he was responding in the second letter to some of their comments. And they had goaded him, and he wasn't bragging on purpose, but he was making it clear to them that if they wanted to know what it was to be something to brag about, he shared with them his own experience. And in this, he shares with them something that was truly spiritual. God had taken Paul spiritually. A trance or a vision or whatever it was, Paul said he wasn't sure whether he was in the body or he was out of the body. It was that kind of experience. But he said he saw things that couldn't be uttered. He saw things that were so... so wondrous and glorious. Those things, it was his own words, that had he not had the messenger of Satan to buffet him, he would have been exalted. We all fight the pride of life. We all fight those things that would want to elevate us. And sometimes when we're in a spiritual battle and we win that battle and we experience the greatness of God and the provision of God, sometimes we're apt to think that somehow or another it was us that was special and not God. But that's never the case. It's always God that's doing this. And yet we find that God sent a messenger a thorn in the flesh, the Apostle Paul called it. I'm going to read from verse number 7. And he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, the one thing I believe that we can learn from this particular verse is that whatever God does, there's a reason behind it. Now, if you're suffering specifically, whether it be physically, whether it be mentally, whatever it is, if you're suffering, I can assure you that you're going to have a choice to make at some point. If it's God's will to continue to let you go through that valley, to experience that suffering, whatever that hardship is that you're going through, here's what I can assure you. If you have prayed and you have sought God for him to deliver you from that, there's one of two things either going to happen. Number one, he's going to deliver you from it, or he's going to keep you in it and give you the grace you need to go through it. And here's what I know about God. He's good, and he's good all the time. And everything that God does is for our own good and for his glory. When we look at the scripture, what you'll find is the Apostle Paul evidently experienced a great deal of hardship from what was going on. This very thorn in the flesh that had been given to him by God, sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. This very thing he had prayed for three times, that earnestly he had sought God that he would remove this thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't believe it was because Paul lacked faith in God. I don't believe it was because Paul simply was trying to get around learning or not being exalted. I believe truly it was an affliction and it was a hardship and it was something that he didn't in the flesh want to endure. And so he did what all of us do. He asked God for help. And yet what the Bible said was there in verse number 7 is that Paul understood, I believe by the Holy Spirit, understood that what he was going through had a purpose. May all of us recognize that sometimes. Isn't that the hard part? It certainly is for me. It's hard to recognize when you're suffering that God can be using that suffering for something good. It's often when we look back on the suffering, it's often when we look back on the circumstance or the experience that we recognize that the hand of God was with us all the time, that he was right there, that he was helping us, that he was sustaining us, that he was using the hard things to grow us up, to make us better and not bitter. Amen. Paul had a choice to make, just like all of us do. He got a message from God after praying earnestly, and I believe faithfully, and certainly seeking God to be free of this thorn in his flesh. And yet the Bible said there in verse number 8, the Bible said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." May I say to you today, we ought to pray. We're taught to pray. Everything the Lord Jesus shared about prayer was for us to ask and to seek and to knock, and we're to believe in what we pray. But may I say to you today that every prayer ought to be followed up by "Thy will be done." Because there's something I know about prayer. I don't know what's best in my life. Amen. I can pray for a circumstance to be changed, but who knows what that circumstance is truly doing? I know in my heart, you see, that God is good, and that God is always good, and that God can't be anything but good. And when God answers prayer, it's always right. Amen. Whether or not it's my answer. Amen. Sometimes God says no. Yeah. And I really want to get better. Amen. I'm not looking to get bitter over it. Amen. So many people today, when they get the no answer from God, or God says, "No, I'm not going to change that circumstance in your life," amen, they may get down. And some people will allow the discouragement or the disappointment of not having a prayer answered exactly like they had prayed it or expected it to be answered. They allow that disappointment, if unchecked and undealt with, amen, it'll turn into bitterness in you, and it'll cause you to become weak. It'll destroy your testimony. It'll take every hope and joy that you have. Amen. If you become bitter against God. Yeah. Now, Paul had a choice to make. God said, "No, I'm not going to remove it." Amen. Paul had work to do. Amen. He had missions to go on. He had things to do. There was great reasons that it might have been a good thing for God to have alleviated the pain that he was in or the suffering that he was going through. But what Paul recognized was that God had a purpose in it, and that it was to the glory of God and the goodness of God that he maintained in God's answer. He wasn't bitter. Amen. Once he understood, God was clear on that, right? Finally, God spoke to him in verse number 9. And he said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient." Now, that's a nice way to say no, right? Paul had asked him, "I want you to remove this thorn in my flesh. It's a great hindrance. It's a hurtful thing to me." And yet what God responded, and he prayed 3 times. And I don't know if he got answers the first 2 times, but he certainly got one the last one. And God revealed unto him that his grace was sufficient. And he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, in all of these things, God is able to change your heart and mind. But there are times when you're going to pray something and it's not going to be answered the way you thought it should have been. Right? I've prayed them prayers. And I've been disillusioned. And I've been disappointed. And I've wondered, was it me? Was it my faith? Was it something that I did? And all the while, amen, God has never changed through this. How many times do we put ourselves through these mental exercises, these mental hurdles, and we try to figure out, why in the world have my prayers not gone through? Let me say something to you. My God never doesn't hear me. There has never been a time that he doesn't love me. There's never been a time that his eye is not on me. Amen. When I pray and I meet the condition of prayer, amen, when I seek him with all of my heart, I can assure you that God hears my prayers. What we ought to do is remind ourselves, when God, number one, hadn't given us an answer, that God will give us an answer. It's not God's will to sit up there and close off heaven. That's not what his word says. That would be contrary to how he says he deals with his children. What he does do, though, is always right. And what he does do is always on time. What he does do will always be perfect. And it's incumbent on the believer, amen, when we pray the prayer, to trust that God will answer it in his time and according to his will. And amen, pray your heart. Let's God trust him and obey him. If you're not careful, if you don't get the answer you're looking for, that disappointment creates bitterness. And instead of becoming better, you become bitter. What an important concept. Because I can assure you, every one of us will experience this, likely multiple times in your life, when you've prayed a prayer and it didn't turn out the way you thought, right? I don't know the mind of God. Well, that's an important concept to remember, isn't it? Is that I don't know the mind of God. I told Bill yesterday, I said, I don't know what the will of God is, but I can tell you what we can pray for. And you know what? The Bible said that if two join together and agree and pray, amen, there's a great power in that. And we did that. And you know what? God answered that prayer. And I was able to say, thank you, God. But I was also able to say, but I trust you either way, because I know that you're perfect all the time. If we're not careful, people will get bitter instead of better. Now, what Paul recognized through this is what God was trying to do with the circumstances he had put specifically in the life of the Apostle Paul was to make Paul better, was to take something that was truly in Paul's mind a weakness. He refers to him in verse number 12 as infirmities and reproaches and distresses, all of these things. And yet what God was teaching the Apostle Paul was is that he oughtn't to put his mind on the negative side of these things, but remember that whatever God puts you in is important for God and important to you. And all of these things ought to make us better Christians, not bitter Christians. There's a lot of people today, I believe, that are stumbling. Some of them, they're truly bound by the sin of unbelief. They're bound by the sin of doubt. They're bound by this bitterness that has rooted into their heart because that God didn't answer a prayer just exactly the way they wanted. May I say to you today, if God left it up to you and I, there wouldn't any of us escape. Because we don't know. Right? How many of you truly know what tomorrow is going to bring? How do you know what truly is necessary in your life to learn and to be a part of? How many of us truly understand what we do today affects tomorrow and maybe a year down the road or 10 years down the road? How many of us truly recognize that we're in the hands of a loving God and he does not make mistakes? There's sometimes we just need to, as the Apostle Paul did spiritually, he manned up spiritually. He said, hey, if that's your will, that changes everything. Yeah. It may not be his will, Larry, that you ever get any better. But to God be the glory. Because if you don't get better, that's part of his plan. That's hard, ain't it? Some people get bitter because it's hard, because God's not their butler, or God's not their maid, or God's not some kind of miracle worker that they whip out every time they have a hardship. I want you to know that God don't work like that. He's trying to raise children. Amen. And brothers, sometimes raising children means we have to do the hard things. People get bitter against God. I knew a lady one time whose son had passed away. He was almost 20 years old. He was an older teenager, and her son had got killed, actually just died of an illness. And she was so bitter. But you know what happened? Through that bitterness and through that anger and through that suffering and through that hardship, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I thought to myself, well, that's extreme. Yeah. But that's what it took to save her soul. She's in heaven today. She's in heaven today. Because God didn't do what she asked. Right? She was trying to pray to God and all of these other things that he lived, and yet he didn't live. Right? That'll make you think, won't it? That'll make you look back. That'll make you ask yourself questions. Here's what I want you to know. God don't make mistakes. And he ain't starting with you. I can tell you right now, I could pray all day long, but if I'm praying contrary to the will of my good God, I thank God he won't do what I ask. Huh? Would you do that for your children if you knew it was going to harm them, if you knew that was not what was best for them? Amen. We don't just grant them everything they ask for, because there's some things we know more about than they do. And thank God we do what's right instead of what's easy. I don't know if you're bitter tonight, but I can tell you right now what you need to be is better. Here's what Paul said. He said, the Lord told me that his grace was sufficient. Now, let me just stop right there. That's enough. Yeah. Right? I mean, we don't really have to have any other excuse than God to say, let me tell you something. If I will it to be different than what it is you want, here's what I'm going to tell you. Then whatever I'm doing, that's what's best for you. Right? I believe that. Do you? I do. I believe that. Amen. Because it's based on God's merit. Right? It's based on the character of God. God is good. Right? Which means God doesn't do bad. Right? He's not going to inflict punishment on you unduly or for a reason that doesn't exist. Friend, God does everything for a reason. And what he does is perfect and it's right. The Apostle Paul had it. Right? I'm not there yet, I'm just being honest. I'm not there. But Paul was, I believe he was. Right? He prayed. That's God. He said, I'm tired of this. I need you to stop this thorn in my flesh. This very thing that buffets me and hinders me and is a reproach and all of these hardships that it creates in my life. He said, Lord, I need you to take this away. And ultimately God didn't answer him. But then God said, listen, my grace is sufficient. I'm not taking it away. And the Apostle Paul realized, I believe it was through the Holy Spirit. Man, let me say this too. I believe you and I can figure these things out through the Holy Spirit's help. The Bible said the Holy Spirit was my helper. He is leading me and guiding me in all truth and righteousness. Brother, if you'll trust the Holy Spirit, I believe he'll reveal unto us many times the purposes of God. He did for Paul. He told Paul, he said, look, he said, I'm not going to remove it because you would be exalted in those revelations. And that exaltation that would come in your flesh would ultimately bring down your ministry, not lift up your ministry. It would take away from me as Lord, and it would establish you as some kind of other spiritual being that was higher than the normal people. He said, no. He said, what I'm going to do, Paul, he said, is I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you grace that in every troubled thing that comes to you through this thorn in the flesh. He said, here's what I'll promise you, Paul. I'll be with you through it all. He said, for I want you to know that I have a purpose in what I'm doing and that my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Boy, that was almost like when Paul realized, hey, God's getting the good out of this. I'm in. Now, I don't know that I'm there yet, right? I'm not signing up for hardship. Anybody else? I say, need somebody to suffer? Hey, here I am. But we do suffer at times, and we do have hardships. We do have struggles and necessities and distresses. They do come to us. But we need to remember is that even in those things, whether I pray right or wrong, I want you to know God doesn't do wrong. He can't do wrong. He'll no more leave me than the sun would quit time. Right? Because that's the character of God, and that's based upon his promises. And so in the hard things, right? How many of you went through a night and you didn't know what the morrow was going to bring? How many of you had a prayer that was so serious that you literally were sick to yourself and you begged God for this one thing? He was just like crickets. You couldn't hear a thing. Where is God? What's he doing? What I want you to take from this tonight is that God is never idle.
He's not sitting up there somehow thinking, should I answer her or should I not? I'm not sure whether I should give her. I'm not sure what to do. God's never in that place, nor is he in a place where he has to consider, should I do good or should I do bad? I want you to know the character of God doesn't allow either of those. He is always going to be good. Do you believe that? Right? That'll help you then. It'll help you when the enemy wants you to be bitter, it'll help you to be better. Right? Because what the Apostle Paul got out of it was better. It wasn't bitter at all. When God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to answer your request because what I have in store for you is very necessary to keep you where I need you to be spiritually. But it'll also bring glory to me. And I promise you this, Paul, I'll not leave you. My grace will be with you. Paul does something that I believe all of us struggle to do. He embraced it. Yeah. Let me read it to you as we close. He said in the other half of verse 9, he said, most gladly therefore. All right, did you catch the gladly part? Can anybody put themselves in the place of the Apostle Paul right now and say, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm going to say, most gladly, Lord, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, what the Apostle Paul was recognizing was that this will make me better. This will make me stronger. This will make me closer to him. This will make the power of Christ rest upon me. The grace of God magnified in me. This affliction will be for our good and his glory. And the Apostle Paul embraced it. You see, the trouble that he experienced didn't make him bitter. It made him better. He could have sat back in his chair and said, God, I have been through this and this and this, and now you're doing this to me. Right? That's not a far stretch. Especially if it was in my mind, right? God, I've tried ever since you saved me to do all and to be obedient and to serve you and all, and then... No, there wasn't even a hint of bitterness. Paul reached his arms around the heart. He reached his arms around the hurt and the struggle and the infirmity, the thing that just hurt him so every day, the distresses and the affliction. He put his arms around it and he said, most gladly, then will I therefore suffer for Christ, because in so I experience the glory of Christ. The power of Christ rests upon me. Verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't even know how you make that fit in our brains. But he said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. I believe this whole thing with the thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan, I believe it made Paul better. It didn't make him bitter at all. It made him better. He was able in these things to find the power of God was greater. And what God said was, is in these very things, Paul, he said, I'm going to prove my power through your weakness. I'm going to get glory for this, Paul. And I'm going to sustain you through it all. Therefore, he said, I'll take pleasure in my infirmities. See, the whole experience made Paul better. It didn't make him bitter. It made him better. I'll take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distresses. He said, all of this for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul was able to recognize that the goodness of God works even through the infirmity. The goodness of God works through the reproaches. The goodness of God works through the necessities and the afflictions. Those things that God allows in our lives to temper us and to grow us and to strengthen us. These are things that God ordains to make us who we are, to lift Him up and to bring glory to Him. Let me read a few scriptures to close. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," now this was Paul writing again, he said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us," right? So there's one you can hang your hat on. It's a whole lot better for us to embrace the things that God, listen, as a child of God, there is nothing that I am a part of. If I'm obedient, and there is nothing I'm a part of that God hadn't ordained so.
Yeah, amen.
The Bible said that the steps of a good man are what? Yeah. Ordered. Is there ever a time that as a child of God, I'm just out there and He don't know anything about me?
No.
Never. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he said it like this. Now, that was earlier in this same letter. He said, "For our light affliction." Now, wait a minute. I've read his story. I've read about what he went through. Shipwrecks and deserted and in the sea and stuff, and all stoned. "For our light affliction is but for a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen," that's what will make you bitter, "but at the things which are not seen," that's what makes you better. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Last one. Come and get a song. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 4. He said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." Now think about that. To be a partaker of the divine nature of God is certainly going to require some doing. Right? It's just not just like He saves you and suddenly you're the best Christian that's ever lived. No, there's a process that begins the day you get saved, and from that point you begin to grow. And in that growing process, you should be getting better. That's the process of sanctification. He said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Listen, God's trying to make us better, not bitter. So regardless of how He answers your prayer, here's what I can tell you. It's right. If God says no, then no was the best answer. You say, "Preacher, you're saying that today, but tomorrow you'll be wishing it wasn't true." I'm telling you right now, we can't waver on this.
Yeah. Amen.
What'll deliver you in your hardest day is the truth.
Yeah.
And there are hard days coming.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
There's a day out there that may come to me. I dread it. I've prayed it. Let me die before she does. You understand what I'm saying? But that day may come. I'll tell you, there'll be something sustain me. It will not fail me. Because if that day comes, I will know that God does not make mistakes and that this is for my good and His glory.
See, that's the things that will save you in the days of your greatest peril. And it will make you better, not bitter. There's a big difference between having a spiritual understanding of the hard things in life, because they'll grow us toward God. They'll make us stronger. We'll experience the eternal weight of His glory when we begin to see the goodness in all that He does. May we be mature and adult Christians. May we grow right from the milk and get on the meat, right? The things that will rescue you in your hardest and darkest days. Let's be better. Stand with us as we sing.